The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Silber, dayan and author of The Code of Jewish Conduct, and has been brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
For contract and iska, draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Bava Kama Daf Lamed Gimel.
As we draw close to the end of Perek Haminyach, I would like to talk about the Dinei Tashlumim of Nezakim. The Torah says that if one damaged somebody else's property or caused him bodily harm, one has to pay the difference, has to pay how much the damage, the cost of the damage, the loss that was caused to his friend. However, there are many dinim. Now, first of all, nowadays in the court system, a person could sue for all kinds of weird things. Now, in Klal Yisrael, for damaging another human being, harming another, injuring another human being, there is Tzar Ripui Sheves and Boishes, in addition to the Nezek. Nezek would be measured by whatever permanent damage would devaluate this human being. Had he been sold as a slave, that would be called permanent damage, Nezek. Anything else which will not devaluate his price as a slave would not, in the slave market that they used to have in those days, would not be called Nezek. There would only be Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boishes. Tzar is the physical pain, Ripui is the medical expenses, Sheves is how long he was off work, and Boishes is the embarrassment. There are various ways of measuring each one of these, which are more negeya to Perek HaChoyvol, so we'll not go into it now. That is for injuring somebody. Damaging somebody's possessions, one will not pay any of these things. For instance, you don't have to pay for the veterinary, the medical expenses of the veterinary for injuring his cow. It's certainly no such thing as embarrassing his cow. You don't have to pay for his cow's pain, and you don't have to pay for the 2 weeks' work that his cow couldn't do while it was locked up in the stable with a plaster of Paris on its leg. So this is only when, similarly, when a human being will damage another, his fellow's possessions. Similarly, even if when your boyer will damage, for instance, and somebody fell into your boyer, even though the human being was damaged and had medical expenses and whatnot, you don't pay Tzar, Ripui, Sheves, and Boishes. You only pay the damage, irreversible bodily harm, which would decrease his price as if sold as a slave. Okay, now, Nezikin, when you damage people's money, there is Shoer, Boyer, Maven, Hever, there is Eish, Boyer, Shoer. These things are, each one have their own dinim, which we won't go into right now either. What I would like to say is that Nezikin, you only pay with a Raya Barura. We will not do what's called an Umdana. The Beis Din doesn't just estimate what probably happened over here. There's none of that. You can do that in a Goyish law court, but not in a Beis Din. You're going to need Eidim, Ksherim, Kosher Eidim, with proper proof and not just assumption and estimation. We will only accept the Eidus. This testimony will only be able to be given in the Beis Din in the presence of the Mazik, Vahuad Babalov. Even if somebody is very sick, maybe the witnesses or the Mazik, still, we will only be able to accept the testimony in the presence of the Mazik himself, and it has to be kosher edim. If we do not know the cause of the damage, or we have no clear proof of the cause of the damage, only estimations, so just like any other din of sofik in monetary matters, that there is a rule of hamaitzi mechaveroi olov horaya. The person who wants to extract money from the other has to bring proof before he can have that money. Now this was mi ikar hadin. The Rama says in Siman Lamed Hei that there is a takonas kadmoinim to rely on edim pesulim in a situation or a place where there are no Eidim Ksherim. Let's say there are two women having an argument about their seat in the Ezra's Noshim, in the ladies' the gallery of the shul where the ladies daven. Now, no men ever go in there, and no men are going to know who sits where. Both women claim that they sit on the same place for the last 17 years. All the ladies up there certainly know who's been sitting there and who hasn't. And we, therefore, there was a takonas kadmoinim that we will accept testimony also from women. Sometimes somebody's in the middle of a fight, an argument. Somebody is going to run off and malshin. Somebody's running to call the mafia on somebody else. There's no time here in the middle of the marketplace to summons two kosher edim to watch what's happening, to be able to testify later in Beis Din. Therefore, in such circumstances, there is a takonas kadmoinim that we will accept edus from women, even from relatives or children in certain circumstances. Everything depends on what the Beis Din think. There are sometimes an umdana demuchach, something which is very, very obvious, and Beis Din will rely on that too. Hakoil lefi reus eine ha-Beis Din. Many cases in the Beis Din nowadays, you will see the secretary, who is the niece of the boss, testifying against a customer or a client. This is a common scenario, and the reason is because of this takonas kadmoinim that we will accept edus even from psulim and noshim and even an ed echod in a circumstance, in a case where there is no other choice. A person wants to damage his friend's property and he'll pay afterwards. Not allowed. Just like you're not allowed to steal, even if you've got every good intention of repaying afterwards, you're also not allowed to damage, even though you wish to pay afterwards. You're not even allowed to take a risk and leave some, you know, leave something on your roof that might blow off and damage someone. Or leave a cow we might run out and damage with insufficient shmira. You're not even allowed to take a risk. Even if you will be willing to pay every penny of damages afterwards, you're not even allowed to take risks. You have to safeguard all your possessions from possibly causing damage. Certainly you cannot yourself do acts which may cause damage to people, even if you are willing to pay. You might be very willing to pay and have a good heart, but people don't like sustaining, suffering damage, and then later having to go make a claim and prove their point and look for testimony, look for edim. People don't like that. So you cannot damage or even do something which insufficient shmira, which may cause damage of your possessions, by your possessions, nizke mamoinoi, to other people or their possessions. You cannot do that. You have to not take any chances of damaging other people. Derech Agav, a woman, I don't want to go into the story about chereshoit of a cotton. The Mishnah, maybe we will say a little bit. The Mishnah says a chereshoit of a cotton, that's an imbecile, a minor, and a deaf and dumb mute, which in those days were like an imbecile because they had no way of communicating with other people, so they were considered mentally deranged. And a minor, a little girl under bas mitzvah or a boy under bar mitzvah, the Mishnah says, pigyoson ro. If you meet them, if you get in trouble with them, if you bump into them, clashing with them is bad. They damage others and do not have to pay. Others who damage them do have to pay. A married woman or a slave, if they damage people, they would have to pay. Just because they have no money right now, because whatever they own is their boss or their husband's, therefore they cannot pay damages right now. If she were to get divorced and have money, or if the slave was set free, then they will have to pay because now they have money. A woman who breaks household utensils or anything while she is doing her work, a plate, a very expensive bone china plate, slipped out of her fingers and smashed while she was doing the dishes. She left the kiddush cup on the edge of the table, a beautiful silver kiddush cup, and it went flying as she walked by holding a baby. This may be pshia, negligence. A woman in household chores while she's working in the house, she is potter, she does not have to pay, doesn't have to compensate her husband or anyone else for things that she breaks while she's at work, and even when she is not working, she does not have to pay the damages of things that she did, of things that she broke in the house. What I would like to talk about is the shuma of nezek. How do we evaluate the damage? So we've said here there are all kinds of tsari, pishevas, and boishas that you will not get. True, my animal or my boyer damaged you, my fire burnt you, and you were off work for 3 weeks, but I don't pay shevas. You had medical expenses, but I don't pay ripui. I only pay ripui for nizke odom. So what do you pay? So usually there are all kinds of other things which were caused because of my damage, but those will all be groma. We'll speak about groma and garmi in Mirza Hashem when we get to Perik HaGoizel. Right now, I would like not to go into it. So what do you pay? You pay the damages. How much was the damage? How much, what loss did you incur? What loss did he suffer? Did the Nizak suffer? Well, we're going to have to evaluate that. So we're going to measure the damage. Let's say it was a utensil or his car. We're going to say, how much was it worth before this damage, and how much is it worth now after this damage? The value of the utensil, the value of it before it was damaged, the value of it after the damage, the difference you will pay. The Nezek says, I don't need a broken camera that you have to put a piece of sellotape over the battery compartment. I am the kind of person who needs nice, good cameras, and I'm embarrassed to use it with a piece of tape over the battery compartment. The Nizik says, I'm sorry, shomin le nizokin. Therefore, the Nizik, I will give you back your broken pieces, I will give you back the camera the way it is, and I will pay the difference. That is the halacha. If I smashed your vase and the pieces are worth money, the vase was worth $100, the pieces are worth $3, I will give you back the pieces and $97, even though you don't need them. That's the halacha. I pay the difference in value. The utensil remains yours. I pay the difference in value, what it was before it broke and what it is now after it broke. Incidentally, were pieces of broken vases to become very expensive? Let's say I smashed your silver candelabra. And when I smashed it, it was worth $100 before I smashed it and $80 after I smashed it. And now the price of silver has gone up. And just the silver, the scrap silver of this broken menorah is worth $102. So I say I want to give you back the menorah, not pay you anything. But no, because the broken pieces are yours, are the nizik's, therefore they went up in value in your rishus, and we're going to measure the difference of what the difference was at the time of the damage. I damaged you at 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. At that time, the menorah was worth 100 before the damage, 80 after the damage. I owe you 80. However, I will have to, if let's say I damaged your cow and it's got a broken leg and it's at the bottom of a boyer, or if I killed it and the carcass is at the bottom of the boyer, I have to pick it up, get it out of the boyer. I have to be metapo benevela, but you will, the pieces are called yours, and if they go up in value, you will gain. If they go down in value, I broke your menorah, it was worth 100, I broke it and now it's worth 80, and in 3 days' time, by the time we came to make the cheshbon, it was only worth 60 because silver went down in value, I will still pay only 20. What's called nezek? The damage, the loss of the time of the nezek, how much was it worth right before, how much is it worth after, that depreciation in value is the nezek, and that's what I will pay. Now, what happens if you're walking past somebody in a very fancy restaurant where a cup of tea costs $75, and you're collecting for Hachnosas Kala, someone very needy, and you had to go and meet this wealthy man who's at the other side of this fancy restaurant, and you come inside in your Shabbos clothes, and you still stick out like a sore thumb as the most shabby person there, and you're making your way towards the other end of this restaurant to speak to this man who you hope will help you with your Hachnosas Kala, and by mistake you bumped into an old lady's elbow who was holding her cup of tea, and the tea went all over the place. Now, she's not complaining about her dirty clothes. The waiters came very quickly to clean up the mess, and nobody's asking you for that. But what she is saying is, I want my cup of tea. It cost me $75, and I hadn't even had the first sip. So will you please give me $75? And you tell this old lady, come to my house, and I'll give you 100 cups of tea. But I'm not giving you $75 because a cup of tea only costs 70 cents to put together. And she says, I don't care. I'm sitting here in the middle of my meal. I'm going to have to buy another cup of tea, and it's going to cost me $75. You have to give me $75. Who's right? The old lady is right. Because we will always measure the price of nizokin v'fi mekoimom v'shatom, according to the place, according to the time, and according to the circumstances. You cannot take your friend's $1,000 esrog on Erev Sukkos and drop it on the floor by mistake and say, oh yes, I'll give you a beautiful esrog just like this a few days after Sukkos. It doesn't work, because on Erev Sukkos the esrog is worth $1,000, and a few days after Sukkos it's worth a few cents to make jelly out of it. The same thing would be with matzahs. You took his brisket chabura matzahs that cost $200 a kilo and damaged them, chometz them. You can't say, oh yes, I'll give you back brisket chabura matzahs after Pesach, because they're very, very cheap after Pesach, because not many people are willing to put them away till next year and use them then. So this is the way things work. Now, what would be if you tell this old lady, I know somebody who works behind the counter. They, although they don't have much money to give for Hachnosas Kala, they're very sympathetic, and I'm sure that they will give you another cup of tea for free. Let me give you another cup of tea in exactly the same cup, in exactly the same. So, I mean, you could really say, I'll go home and I'll get myself a little bone china cup, exactly what you had, and I'll make you exactly the same tea, and I'll bring it to you here. Or I know someone behind the counter, and I'll explain them what happened, and they'll be more than happy to give you back exactly the same cup of tea. And she says, no, I want $100. I want $75, the price of that I paid for the cup of tea. You will be able to go home, or as we've said, go over here, go to the person behind the counter, explain what happened, and get another cup of tea. And if you do that, you have paid her her tashlumei nizokin. For instance, if you're in a clothing store, and by mistake you're the edge of your cigarette, in 20, 30 years ago when people still used to smoke in clothing stores, the edge of your cigarette brushed past a suit and made a hole in it, and the man tells you, I want you to pay $900, that's the price of this suit, and you tell him, no, I am paying what you paid your wholesaler, because that's the loss you incurred. You pay your wholesaler only $600, I'll give you $600 and get another suit from your wholesaler. And he tells you, no, I'm a retailer, I pay rent and lighting and heating and music in the background, and employ people to stand here, and this suit, once it hits the rack in my store, this suit is worth $900. That's its price in the market. Look, I'm a store, and that's what I sell it for. Who is right? The storekeeper. That is the mekoimei v'shatoi. Similarly, you cannot say to somebody, I will pay you the wholesale price. I damaged, I knocked three glasses off the shelf. You want $5 a glass. Well, it doesn't work like that. When you buy 100 glasses, you don't buy it for $500. Anybody who buys 100 glasses, any moissed or any individual who buys 100 glasses pays only $300. So I broke three glasses. I'll pay you $3 a glass. Okay, if you really broke three glasses inside a box of 100 glasses at the wholesaler's, you're right. But if you knock three glasses off the edge of the shelf in the store, or you knock three glasses off your friend's kitchen table, so then you will have to pay the $5 a glass and not $3 a glass. However, if you say to this person, you're selling this soup for $900, and you say, I damaged it, I have to pay you $900. Just one moment, you step out of his store, you go across the street, and you buy exactly the same suit for $800, and you bring it back to him, that would be fine. You do have such a choice if you wish, and if you're capable of doing that. Similarly, the old lady in the restaurant can get herself another cup of tea, and she will not be able to demand her $75. Of course, if she's already ordered another tea, and it cost her $75 and she's already drank it, you can't force her to have a third cup of tea if she's not interested. That's not what she needs right now. But if you do manage to give her the cup of tea quick enough before she has to order another one, then you can pay your tashlumei nizokin like that. That's the din of hakoel lefi mekoymei v'shatoi, and everything according to the situation.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.